The fourth Sunday in Lent. The first lesson is taken from Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though Christ were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the goods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I'm starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they begin to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is the gospel of the Lord.
It's probably true for most of us that we so much of the time fail to recognize how great is the love of God for us. For example, in the first reading today, we heard these words from Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. If the only thing we knew about God was that our sins are forgiven, covered through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we would have reason to consider ourselves the most blessed and favored and loved people in the world. But that's all we knew. Fact, if you believe in Jesus, this truth is yours. And if I were to simply say amen at this point and go and sit down, we should all jump to our feet and shout praises to our great God who has so showered His love upon us, resulting in this forgiveness. If we have everything else but don't have that, we've got nothing. Listen. God has given us a vision that with His help, we would make lifelong committed followers of Jesus here, there, and everywhere. There's nothing more important than that. And I mean that for this congregation. Think about it. If our sins are covered through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, if our sins are not counted against us, we have become sons and daughters of God and are headed for an eternity in the wonder and joy of and perfection of heaven. And that's what God wants for everyone. And He's given us the responsibility and privilege to bring this message to everyone we know here, there, and everywhere. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we're going about this everywhere when Mark Geppert was here. Everywhere in the world outside of Leon County. Last week, we talked about how we're seeking to do this in the their part of our vision. Everywhere in Leon County outside of our own neighborhood. And today, we're going to spend a few minutes talking about how we attempt to do this in the here of our vision. Here on our property and in the Killaren Lakes and Golden Eagle neighborhoods. Our here. Now in the bulletin today you will find a fairly long list of our here ministries and initiatives. Most of the things listed there happen inside this building. Some of those things are ongoing weekly, things like altar guild and lecturing and volunteering in the nursery. And some of those things are a bit more sporadic. But all of them are worthy ministries in which to be involved. And we need more people to be involved in a number of them, for all of them together make it possible for us to do what we do. If those things didn't happen, many of the things that we do would not get done. So I am truly encouraging you to think about how God wants you to use your time and your talents in some of these activities. But there's something else I want to talk about this morning. I'd like us to think back to just a week ago. We were all in some measure of shock, at least those of us who were here during the Sunday school hour and then the late service. And that's because of the terrible accident that took place Sunday morning during the Sunday school hour, basically right at the end of our driveway. Tragically, a young man who graduated from Childs High School not quite 2 years ago, Tyler Fender, died when his car struck one of the trees in the median. No doubt most all of you have seen the memorial of flowers that have been placed at the base of the tree. Diane Ifland came and got me from the portable classroom where I was teaching confirmation, told me about it at about 10:20. I walked to the end of the driveway. I saw that Kelly and Dustin Allen were there along with Dina and a few others. Kelly and Dustin thought it might have been one of the youth who has attended our youth gatherings on Wednesdays in the past. They thought that because the truck looked somewhat familiar. I obviously wanted to know if the accident involved one of our members. So I did what you're not supposed to do. I ducked under the police yellow tape and started to approach the sheriff's deputies, and they reacted to my crossing the tape rather quickly. When I told them that I was the pastor from the church across the street and I wanted to know if the person in the truck was a member of the congregation, they relaxed and such, but they calmly told me that I was not allowed to look at the victim or approach the truck until the next of kin had been contacted. Dustin called out the name of the young man, the person they thought maybe owned the truck, and the deputies did tell us that it was not the person they feared it might be. That was good. But still, someone had tragically died. That was not good. There was nothing more we could do at that moment, so I made my way back up the driveway. People were coming for church, although, of course, they were arriving late because of the detour they were made to take. When we did start the service, about 15 minutes late, we began with prayers for all who would be affected by this accident. In fact, we referred to or prayed for these people a couple of more times throughout the service. On Monday of this week, the day after the accident, our member Lee Siegert appeared in the doorway of my study just before noon. He had just come from the accident site, and there he had been conversing and praying with four young adults, one of which was Tyler's girlfriend. He asked if I would come down to the road, and I asked Kelly, our director of youth and children ministries, to join me, and we went to the tree. And as one would expect, the mood was somber and mournful. We talked for a bit with the four of them. Kelly knew one of them because he'd been to some of the youth gatherings. We offered to make our grounds available to them if they wanted to hold some kind of a vigil. We prayed. Hugs were exchanged. And I invited any of them to call or stop by any time if they wanted to talk or cry or yell or receive counsel of some kind. Monday night, my wife Stephanie suggested that we put the prayer tent at the road on Tuesday. I thought Lee might be available, and he was, so we put up the tent. And he spent several hours out there on Tuesday, and during those hours, two men stopped for prayer. Now, surprisingly, they didn't stop for prayer because they had anything to do with the accident or the people touched by the accident. They had other issues, but you know what? Both of them left having recommitted their lives to Jesus. But the tent was there because of the accident. Something else happened early in the week. We learned that the mother of one of our preschool teachers, Katie Cartwright, was the first person on the scene after the accident. She went to the car. She didn't know whether Tyler was alive or if he had passed. But she put her arm around him and just started praying for him until the emergency responders arrived. Late afternoon on Tuesday, Tyler's aunt called the church and spoke with Cindy in the office. The aunt had heard that somebody had prayed with Tyler, and she just wanted to know if maybe we might know who that person was. Well, Cindy did. So Cindy got Katie's mother's phone number, gave it to Tyler's aunt, and the aunt called Katie's mom, who was still kind of reeling from being the first one at the site of this terrible accident. As a result of that conversation, Katie's mother felt some measure of closure to her trauma, and the aunt of Tyler was ever so grateful that someone had been there with Tyler at those critical moments. I share these things with you today for a couple of reasons. One reason is simply because I'm sure that a number of you have been wondering and thinking about this accident this week. But that's not the main reason. As I said earlier, a listing of our HERE ministries are found in our bulletin this morning. One of our HERE ministries that is not on the list is our prayer tent. Now, the prayer tent wasn't up on last Sunday. It was up on Tuesday, but not Sunday. But the thing I want you to see is this. Since our HERE part of our vision is everything we do in the name of Jesus on our property and in the neighborhoods of Killarney Lakes and Golden Eagle, clearly 40 to 50 feet to the left of our driveway is in our HERE. Let's understand. While it is important for all of us at Epiphany to involve ourselves in HERE, there, and everywhere ministries and initiatives which we've created for you to be involved with, it's just as important for us to be representatives of Jesus here, there, and everywhere, even when we're not engaged in one of our formal initiatives. When Lee stopped to engage with the young people, when Kelly and I went out, when Cindy connected with Tyler's aunt, connected her with Katie's mom, who was there at those critical moments, a lot of vital HERE ministry was happening. And none of it had to do with one of our official ministries. But it happened. Then there's this too. This accident reminds us that we never know when our end will come. The truth is, we tend to live our lives assuming that we've got an unlimited amount of time on this earth. Oh, I suppose the older one gets, the more the realization that our time on earth is limited sinks in. But still, I think most of us assume we'll awaken in the morning, we'll go through our morning routine, and we'll go through the day ahead. But the truth is, we don't know. We don't. We just don't know when we will take our last breath. Now, for those who know Jesus, we can be at peace about that because of what the psalmist wrote. Blessed is the one whose sins are covered, whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Yes, if you know Jesus and continue to live this life confessing your sins to God, we know that God will bring us home to heaven, whenever that will be. And that's great news for us. But what about our friends and relatives? We don't know when they will draw their last breath. Now, we have learned that Tyler did indeed know Jesus, according to his parents. And thank God for that. Literally, thank God for that. But what about the people you know? We say it in the form of our weekly send-off. With God's help to make lifelong committed followers of Jesus here, there, and everywhere. But the truth is, we say that because it is a statement intended to make us mindful and committed to making Jesus known everywhere and to everyone we can. So, my friends, start with the people you know. Invite them to lunch. Write them a letter. Tell them about the horrible accident that took Tyler's life, and that you were abruptly reminded that life in this world is ever so tenuous, and that you could not rest until you had a chance to share with them that God loves them, and that Jesus died on their behalf so that all the wrong things they've ever said, done, or thought could be forgiven. That you just had to make sure that they knew about this magnificent gift and offer from God. And I will say again, as I have on a number of occasions before, if there is someone you want to share Jesus with, but you just don't know how to get into the conversation, call me. And together with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will come up with a plan so that you can approach them. Listen, it's the Holy Spirit who places faith in a person. We simply bear the message and the invitation. Seriously, who is God placing on your heart? And I want to share this too. And I want to begin it with a timeless truth of God. And this time, the timeless truth of God is straight from Scripture. My favorite passage, Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That's the promise of God. If our hearts yearn for God's way and purposes to be our ways and purposes, that's living in a way that is commensurate with being, quote, called according to His purpose. And if we're doing that, the promise of God is that in all things, both good and bad, God will be working for your good. And we saw this very thing happening even in the midst of this terrible tragedy this week. God nudged Lee to stop and comfort and pray with those four young people. It was meaningful to them. That prompted us to put up the prayer tent. And two people, unconnected to the accident, were given new purpose and direction for the living of life by being reconnected to Jesus. God saw to it that Tyler's aunt and Katie's mom were put together with one another. These were all God moments, where in the midst of a terrible moment of life, God was at work seeking to bring good out of it. One thing I didn't tell you was that on Wednesday night, at Power Up, Tyler's girlfriend showed up. Kelly came and got me from the room that I was in I was surprised to see her, but she was on her way to the visitation for Tyler, and she just wanted to stop and thank us for being there. And you know, that's really, in my experience, pretty unusual for someone of her age. God moments pay off. Friends, we live in a broken world. There is hardship. There is cruelty. There is disaster, both individual and sometimes involving great numbers of people. It is therefore little wonder that God, who is love, sent Jesus into this world so that there can be hope in the midst of the moments, the many moments of despair. It is also little wonder that He has given us this vision to reach out and touch people, introducing them to Jesus and helping them to become lifelong committed followers of Jesus. There is a strong probability that many of us will, in this next week, find ourselves here, there, and everywhere. The question God puts to us this morning is this: will you be ready to be God's minister of the moment? God's minister of the moment. Here, there, and everywhere. Amen.